Evening's reading is from Romans chapter 15, verses 23 to 33, which is on page 1142 in the Church Bibles. That's Romans chapter 15, verses 23 to 33, page 1142. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I've been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through, and that you will assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen.
Well, as Dave mentioned there, we have been going through in these prayer and praise sessions, kind of praying with Paul. And looking at the various prayers of Paul. We've actually been using a book to really help us engage with this, A Call to Spiritual Reformation by Don Carson. Highly recommend that, helping us to have some insight into some of these prayers. But this evening, from that passage that was read to us, we're only going to be looking at one verse, which is verse 30. So if you've got your Bibles, just look at verse 30 there. But just to get a little bit of an overview, really, of Romans, written by Paul, written in AD 57. It was written in Corinth. And for who was it written? Well, the name kind of gives it away. It was written for the church in Rome. So Paul, he hadn't planted this church, but he knew the people there. And why was he writing it? Well, he knew he had someone who was going to take the letter to Rome, Phoebe. He himself wanted to visit Rome himself. He had a great heart for the church in Rome. And the other reason was he wanted to write this letter because there were tensions between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. And this letter is one of the most influential letters in history. Even within the Bible, and it's all kind of God's word, the book of Romans is seen as kind of one of the most kind of precious because of all that it teaches us. Some say it's kind of the Mount Everest of books in the Bible, and from those of us in South Wales, maybe the Brecon Beacons of books in the Bible, or Penavan maybe. But we're going to look at verse 30, which says this: I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle to God for me. And in the handouts that you have there, that you've received coming in, those online, sorry, you don't have it, you'll be able to see there are two headings for this one verse: the motivation of prayer and the struggle of prayer. So this evening, very briefly, let's look at those two sections: the motivation and the struggle of prayer. So the motivation. So the first part of verse 30. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. So it starts off there. I urge you. So this is kind of passionate on the part of Paul. He's not just saying, by the way. He's saying, no, I urge you. I appeal to you. Today, maybe in the way that we would speak, you'd say something, I really need you to do this. Or I really need you. Or I really want you to do this. In some languages, we use it in the tone that we speak. You know, the word really there, if you really mean it, you go, really? When I was in Mongolia, part of the language was if you really wanted to intensify the meaning, then your pitch would go really high. So as you can imagine with my low voice, I wasn't really appealing most of the time. But the urgency here, you see kind of Paul saying, look, I urge you. And so maybe we'd say, you know, I urge you to see this film. It's amazing. I urge you to taste this amazing cake. I really want you to taste it. Or I urge you, I really want you to meet this person. They're amazing. Or maybe I urge you, I appeal to you to develop healthy, godly patterns in your life. So we've got here, I urge you. And then I urge you, brothers and sisters. There is a union in Christ here, that sense of family. We are brothers and sisters. You are my brothers and sisters if you know and follow Jesus Christ. We are united to one another because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So when one of us rejoices, we all rejoice. When one of us weeps, we all weep. And so this week, at the passing of grace, yes, we rejoice because she has the ultimate healing. We rejoice with her because she is now with her Savior. She's receiving her ultimate reward. But we also weep for those that are great friends, have been great friends with Grace over many years, and will miss her until they see her again. We think of Corrie, who was friends with Grace for over 50 years. And so we rejoice with those who rejoice, we mourn, we weep with those that weep. And this evening, we actually have a special moment because someone is being dedicated, because she's dedicating her life to service in a particular way. This evening, Hayley, who I have a privilege of actually sharing an office with, I'm not sure if she sees that as a privilege, is being commissioned to head up the student ministry here at Highfields. So as Hayley steps out in faith, we come alongside her. And we support her. We pray for her in this ministry, very much like the church in Rome was being asked here to pray for Paul. And so there's an urgency, there's a sense of family, but then there's a logic to it. So let's look at it again. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. And so the logic goes something like this. If you call Jesus Lord, then you also have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will work in your heart to make you love God more and to make you love, basically, your brothers and sisters more. And so Paul is saying, look, you follow Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. And therefore, if you love me, you will pray for me. That's basically the logic. And so we have this sense of kind of, we pray because it is powerful. We can't do anything without prayer. And we do it out of love. Now, Charles Spurgeon, who Reeves shared one story this morning, well, there's another story. He was a preacher in the 19th century in London. And before the evening service, he was showing some young kind of trainee pastors around his church, which could hold 5,000 people. And so as the people were arriving, he was kind of showing them around this amazing building. And he said, oh, by the way, do you want to see the boiler room? Which they kind of went, oh, no, please don't. It'll be dirty, it'll be small. But because it was Spurgeon, they said, yeah, of course we do. So he showed them the boiler room. And he opened the door, and there were 100 people there praying. That's where the power was. So he said, as I preach, they'll just be my words without someone praying. And that's kind of what we do here at Highfields, because at 6 o'clock, there's a group of people that pray before the evening service. Because without prayer, then they are just words that will be preached. And so that's the motivation for prayer. But maybe you're sat there and you're going, Roland, I've heard this. I know this. I know the motivation. I know why we pray. I know that it is because that is basically there's no power without prayer. I know that it's out of love for God and love for my neighbor, but I struggle. I struggle. And this is the whole point. How can I pray consistently? Well, the encouragement for you tonight is we all struggle. And Paul knew this as well, because he says this, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. So he's saying the Christian life is a struggle. And he uses this word struggle in other ways as well, in other letters. In Colossians chapter 4, 12, he says, he is always struggling, wrestling on your behalf in his prayers, or earlier in Colossians. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea. You see, prayer is part of the Christian struggle. And, kind of a bit of a tongue twister here. So prayer is part of the Christian struggle, and struggle is part of Christian prayer. You see, Christian life is a struggle, but also so is prayer. Now, Samuel Zwemer, who's a missionary to the Muslim world, said this: prayer is the gymnasium of the soul. Prayer is the gymnasium of the soul. Now, it probably will surprise you because I don't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I do go to the gym. And actually, quite a few of us on staff go to the gym, and it's great fun kind of talking to one another, finding out what injuries we have. But actually, we go to be active and healthy because the work that we do involves not a lot of physical exercise. So we want to go to the gym to be healthy, to continue in ministry. As we read in 1 Timothy 4:8, for physical training is of some value. But it continues. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Now, my gym is only a few minutes from my front door. You'd think it was easy for me to go to the gym. But I have to go every week, once, better if I can go twice or three times. Why? Because if it's a routine, I'll do it. If it's not a routine, if I miss a week, I'm on my sofa and I'm like, oh, do I really want to go? If it's after 2 weeks, oh, that is agony. But I go because I know it'll do me good. It's a struggle, but the struggle gets easier when it becomes a routine. The more often I do it, the easier it is to go. It's always hard. And so it is with prayer. If you're completely out of routine of prayer maybe this evening, then I realize, I've been there, it's really hard to pray. There are thousands of other things that actually you'd rather do at that moment. And Paul realizes it's a struggle. Discipline is needed. Work is needed. But it's not just our weakness in terms of routine. There's another element involved here when it comes to prayer. It's also a struggle, a wrestling against the spiritual realm. When we pray, for example, in Ephesians 6:12, it says this: for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is a battle. This is not a walk in the park. Prayer is a struggle. It is the equivalent of lifting really heavy spiritual weights, doing spiritual stretching, doing spiritual running or rowing machines. The Christian life is a struggle. Prayer is a struggle. Why? Why is the Christian life a struggle? Well, because the devil does not want us to glorify God and make him known. Why is prayer a struggle? Because the devil does not want us to pray. The devil will do everything that he can to stop us praying. Now, only you know what tactics he uses with you to stop you praying. Yes, there are some common things, but specifically, the devil has a plan for each one of us to stop us praying. Now, tonight, we are in a prayer and praise evening service. And the reason we do this is to make it as easy as possible for us as a church to praise God with our voices, with our minds, with our hearts, but also to pray together. We provide you, when you came in, with those sheets that basically has all the prayer points on them. Those online, you'll get them on the screen. So that maybe you find it hard to pray. So what you do is you look at the prayer points. And if you want, you can just basically just pray that prayer point. You say, Father, and you read it out. And you say, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's the prayer. We break you into little groups. We give you set amount of times because we know it is hard. And the exciting thing is, we don't do this just because it's some tradition that the church has had. We do this because prayer is powerful and effective. James 5:18. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so tonight, as I close, the impact of your prayers this evening might never be revealed to you in this life, but your prayers will have an impact. Prayer is the gymnasium of the soul. So let's start this new academic year with a passion and a desire not to let the devil defeat us in this area of prayer. The motivation of prayer. We want others to know Christ, to strengthen the faith and the ministry of those who do know Christ. It's out of love that we pray. Love for God and love for our neighbor. And we know that we struggle. We know we struggle in prayer, and so we are to ask God for help to develop a healthy and a godly routine of praying. We pray for God's glory. We pray for our own joy and peace and delight. We pray for the joy and delight for those who do not yet know Christ. And then finally, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's what we're going to be doing tonight. So let me pray for us now. Father, we thank you so much for the fact that we can come to you, that you desire to hear our voices. We thank you that this mystery, that you use our prayers to work in this world, in the hearts and lives of people. You do not need us, but out of your grace and your love, you desire for us to be a part of this amazing work. And so we do pray for us tonight, that you would help us to really know your presence, and that as we pray, that we would be able to see and delight more and more in what you've revealed in your word, and then to look out for the answers to prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.